Your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3. We're again today thinking on that subject of faith. Somehow God has got me into that, challenging my heart and speaking to me. And I pray God speak to all of us as we try to share with you from this and thinking about it. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. I am thinking about that, what a thought there is in that if it ever gets a hold of you. And you hold of that, that'll be some different thinking, I'm sure, and help all of us. Faith is a substance. I believe it's past Wednesday night, talked about why God requires us to have faith. Why don't God just do what he wants to do anyway without us having faith about it? Number one, it honors God, gives him glory. It's a principle on which God operates, is faith. He spake and it was so. Wasn't anything. He said, let there be, and there was. He acted on faith. And then it hinders our enemy. The devil can't work like he wants to. If you really believe God, you've got God working, doing what God said he'd do. And certainly the devil can't do more than God will allow him to do. Amen. And so then it helps our troubles. Aren't you glad, let not your heart be troubled? You believe in God, believe also in me. John 14, I'm glad faith helps us when we face something. And I noticed this morning folk already coming to the altar. I don't know why, and I don't know what's going on in their lives or what the situation is, but it's always good to come in the altar of prayer and pray. Thank God for that. That's always in order. And then any service we have, to come and pray and talk to God. But you know, whatever your problem is, whatever your situation is, there's not a problem he doesn't understand, not a problem that he cannot help you with if you'll only let him. So I thank God for that reality. Now we're looking back in Hebrews chapter 3, and I'll give you a little bit more background on this in a minute. But let's stand while we read at verse number 12. We read this last Sunday night, I believe it was. And I'm going to read it again tonight, this morning. Take heed, brethren, and this is Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And by the way, sin is deceitful. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hope the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Father, I just want to say thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the songs that have been sung and the sweet spirit that has prevailed. I pray now you'd help those who could not come today, those in the hospital, those in the emergency room, those that have problems and situations as such that they could not be here. I pray you'd help them, encourage them, and strengthen them. Then I pray today, now as we are here in the house of God, for those that are unsaved, I pray the Holy Spirit bring conviction, draw them by your power, and I pray they come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, you'd help those who are lost that joy, they're falling afar off. I pray you'd stir their hearts and work in their lives. And Father, help all of us draw closer to you. And I pray that faith may be increased. You said faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I pray today you'd help us with our believing you, trusting you, and looking forward to what you are doing and shall do. We thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, we plead the blood. And thank you for what you do in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday we started talking about the tragedy of unbelief. And I really didn't get the results of that unbelief. I didn't give you anything about that. We simply told you some things that were not the cause of their not believing. And I tried to deal with that. And let me quickly just remind you of what I said. Just a main thought. I can't preach that again, else we'd be here sure enough all along. But God does require faith. We're praying about revival. We're looking for revival, asking God to help us in revival, and trusting God to help us as a church, help us as individuals and as families, and that we all may get some help. We need help today. Our country needs help today. Our society out here needs help today. And surely if we've ever stood in need of a real revival, we stand in need of it right now. I pray God do something in our hearts in these days. And let me say this to you. You as an individual, what you have from God will depend on how you believe God and how you trust God. What I have will depend on that. And as a church, it will depend on that. And we need to believe God and trust God. And I said last Sunday, as we talked about things that were not the cause of them not believing God. Number one was because it wasn't because they didn't know the will of God. They did know the will of God. God had said, "For I'm going to give you the land of Canaan." He told them. They knew that was God's will for them. They knew what they ought to be doing. You and I that are saved, we know the will of God. I'd say to every unsaved person here today, you know it's the will of God to save. If you don't know, let me tell you real quick. It is the will of God to save unsaved. He said in 2 Peter 3 and 9, it wasn't his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what God said, and it's not his will. Jesus said, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." And so it's the will of God to seek them, save them. And he said, "When his will they perish," so it's God's will to save you today. I pray that you hear God and let God help you and be saved. Then it was not because they had not seen the power of God. They had seen the power of God. God worked in Egypt. God worked at the Red Sea. God worked in the wilderness. They had seen the power of God manifested. It wasn't that reason. It was not because they had not seen the fruit of the land. They had seen the fruit. The spies brought back samples of the fruit of the land, a good land flowing with milk and honey. It wasn't because they didn't know it was a good land. They didn't know it. And then it was not because they didn't desire something better. They did desire something better. They murmured in the wilderness and complained. They desired something better, and they could have had it had they believed God. And so here they are at Kadesh Barnea, and they could have crossed Jordan, went into Canaan, lived in victory, and 40 years before they went in. But they refused to believe God and wandered in the wilderness. And these other things they knew about, they'd seen, they'd heard. Let me say to all of us today again, we have seen God work in days gone by, most all. If you're any age at all, you've seen God do some work. If you've been in church many years at all, you've seen the real work of God. And around here, we've seen God do some great things. We've seen God speak to hearts, and people get revived, and folks get some help, and families get help. And we've seen people saved, and thank God for all of that. But all my heart hungers to see it really come in a real old-fashioned, heaven-sent revival that would stir every heart of every person in the house and get a hold of people out in the communities and see them cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" I'd love to see a revival come that they would be under such conviction in their homes, where they live and where they work and where they go to school, that break up the whatever's going on around them, and they break down under conviction. And you say, "Preacher, you can't see that today." I believe I serve the same God today that was served in yesteryear. Amen. Same God. He said, "I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever." If God's the same, and he is, and that's a proven fact, then if anybody's changed, it's us, not him. And if it's anybody's fault, we don't have the power of God as once it is. Not his, it's ours. And so we need to believe God. And I pray God help me today. So I try to share just two or three things with you here that results in a tragedy. I said it's a tragedy of unbelief. Let me give you about three things this morning about the tragedy of unbelief. And I pray today that you will believe God and that God will help you. Now, I've said this every service I preached along this line of faith. We say we believe, we get it in our minds, we believe, but yet do we really expect God to do it? Do we really look for it? Have we really made that step of faith and really moved in that area of faith? I have to confess to you, amen, many times I've said with my mind, I believe that God is going to bless and God's going to help us and somebody going to be able to reach and all that. And then down deep in my heart, in the recesses somewhere, there was that lingering doubt, that lingering something that got in the way. And I'm not talking about name it and claim it. Now, don't get me wrong. I know God has as much power to heal and God has as much power to financially help, and he does those things today. But I'm not talking about it's not always his will to do that. We have to pray according to the will of God. Is that not true? Amen. And we have this confidence that we have, that he hears us. Anything we ask according to his will. And 1 John 5 he talked about. And so we must pray in the will of God. But we know it's God's will to revive his children. It's not God's will for his children to fall afar off. It's not God's will for his children not to have joy in their heart. It's not the will of God that we not be sold out for God. It's not God's will that we not be reaching somebody for Jesus Christ. It's not God's will that people not get saved. It's not God's will. So we know what the will of God is in this, and we can move on with it. We've seen the power of God, we know, and we've seen the fruit of the results of it. We desire it to happen. So tonight, I ought to preach every night, I guess. But today, as we think about it, may God help us see these things. Number one, this unbelief, I want you to see it. This is a startling fact to me. It's something I have a hard time getting a hold of. Psalm 78 and verse number 41. Talking about this same thing. Israel at Kadesh Barnea. It said, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, did you hear that? They turned back. They tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Can you think about that? Has that ever really got a hold of your heart? The creator of this universe, the one that put it all in place, holds it in place, and the one that saved us by his marvelous grace. And those people were God's chosen people. He delivered them out of Egypt. They come under the blood, and they got to that place, and God said, now come on with me. Let's go far. Let's get the victory here. Let's go into Canaan, the land. And they would not believe God. They limited God. They kept God from doing what God could do and would have done had they obeyed him and believed what God said. They did not enter in because of unbelief. Did you know the walls of Jericho could have fell 40 years earlier? All they had to do was go and believe God. Did you know giants could have failed a whole lot earlier and just believed God and went in? But they did not believe God. Those 10 spies came back. They talked about giants and walled cities and all the problems they saw. They said, we can't do that. Joshua and Caleb said, come on, let's go. God said he'd give it to us. Let's go in. But the majority said no, and they listened to them, and they would not go in because of unbelief. And God himself was limited because they did not believe God. In Matthew 13:58, Jesus is in his hometown, and it said about, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And Brother Jimmy, that struck my heart. Jesus had the power to do it. He could have done it, but he didn't do it because they did not believe him to do it. Now, let's make the application to us today. We're praying for revival. We're asking God to bring unsaved in. We're asking God to revive our hearts and stir our lives. We're asking God to give us what we need as a church, as a people of God. But are we really believing God for it? If we do not believe God for that, we'll limit him. God can give revival. God can save sinners. God can do it. I remember Brother Tommy Steele preaching that message here. Can God? And then he said, God can. And went on to give illustration to that. I say this morning, can God? God can if we believe. If we don't believe, then the Bible said in James 1, 6 and 7, said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that waveth is like a wave of the sea when the wind tosses it. And said, let not that man believe that he receive anything of God. If we are waved about, we're up and down, we don't really have faith to believe it, and we don't really get settled, and whatever may be hindering our faith, I don't know, but I do know this, faith come by hearing by the word of God. And I do know that when we got sin in our lives, we can't pray like we ought to pray. And if you can't pray right, you're not going to believe right. And if you don't believe right, you're not going to pray right. So you got to put the two together. And we need to pray for revival. But if we're going to pray for it, well, it's like a church that came together to pray for rain. Only one person came in with an umbrella. And somebody said, "What you doing with that umbrella?" He said, "I thought we come to pray for rain." Amen. And if we're praying for revival, we're praying God give us something in our service, we'll come looking for it. Amen. Bring an umbrella of faith, believing that God is going to move on the scene, and God is going to do something for us, and God is going to bless. Amen. And thank God and praise Him for it. So we need to pray, believe God, and trust God to do these things for us. I say today, thank God we can believe God and trust Him as we ought to do so. And may God help us to do that. This morning, a son sitting in his house, and you know the joy is not there as it once was in your life. You know the power of God's not on you like it once was. And you realize the fact that something wrong somewhere in your life. Did you know if we come and get right with God and confess our sin, let God help us and make a step of faith and believe that God, and we, that's the same way about being saved, but make that faith a step of faith and believe in God, forgive us, and then we're going to go on for God. Let God fill us up with joy and serve the Lord and go on. We can see God do mighty things. Amen. Y'all with me? Amen. Y'all not somewhere else. Y'all hear what I'm saying? They limited God. They kept God from doing what God wanted to do. And God's burning it in my heart that we don't want to limit God. I don't want to come not expecting God to do it. I want to come with great expectation and looking for God to do it. Faith is expecting it. Amen. When God said, "Let there be light," he didn't wait around and say, "Well, I want for light's going to come." When God said, "Let there be light," He knew light was going to show up. He knew it was. Well, you said, that's God. Well, we're God's children too. Amen. And we have a right to pray. We have a right to ask God. And I thank God for it. When God teaches us to believe Him, it gives Him glory. If we really got down to business about praying for revival and believing God for revival, it'd get glory out of it. And God Almighty would move in power and great glory and do things and mighty magnify Himself. Let me say number two. Unbelief causes departure from God. Look in verse number 12 of our text. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." In departing from the living God. Now, he's not talking about losing salvation. That's not what he's dealing with here. And he's not talking about that. If you ever get saved, born in the family of God, you're saved. Thank God. If you got born physically, can you get unborn physically? You may die, but you can't get unborn. And that baby we held this morning for a few minutes and didn't take us long. But anyway, with that, that baby was born in this world. That can never be changed. It was born into this world as a human living being. And Hannah was here, and God gave life, and so that child's here. No matter what that child does, that child is here in this world. I've been born again, too. I got born in the family of God. And thank God. Now, I'm not preaching this thing that you get saved, live any kind of life, get along fine, you're saved forever, so it doesn't make any difference. It does make some difference how you live. And God does deal with His children. He chastens those He loves. He deals with people that He loves. He doesn't let you go and just forget about you, but He loves you and cares for you. But some have departed from the faith. And that is, they have departed from really living for God and really putting God first. They've got involved in other things. They've let the world creep in and taken away their joy. And there's some sitting here today, and I'm not talking about being drunkards and drug addicts and all of that. That's sin. That's wrong. But I'm telling you, that's we can just let up in our living for God, our daily walk with God, and be backslid on God. Amen. Amen. And we need to understand that. Naomi and Elimelech, you remember them? They was in Bethlehem of Judea, the house of bread. They came a famine. Let me say this. There'll come some famines along in your life. There'll come some in the church. There'll come some times and we wonder, well, where is God? What's God doing? But if we'll hang around long enough, after a while, Naomi heard down there in Moab that God had visited His people. And she went back home. And amen. And you know what we need to do? Get back home. Amen. I'm talking about back with God. where we ought to be, back where the joy is, back where the living for God is, back where we really love God, really had a desire to get to the house of God, wanted to come, desired to come, had a desire to be in the house of God. It's good when people want to come to church. It's good when people have a desire to come to church, and some folk act like it's a drudgery to get up and come to the house of God. Hey, it's joy to come to the house of God and get in. And then some people sit in church and they just waiting for the preacher to quit so they can get out. And I pray God get a hold of you today, because you don't need to get out, you need to get in. Amen. And you say, preacher, we got to do this and we got to do that. I'll tell you what we need to do more than we need to do anything else is just get down to business with God and say, Lord, we need some help and help us, please. And start praying like that and asking God for revival in our own hearts. Start with us and believe in God for it. It'll keep you from departing from God, and it'll keep you from walking away from the closeness of God and that joy, that thrill. Let me ask you this morning that are here, sitting here, how many of you are saved and really have the joy that you once experienced? Really living for God, really have that joy, that thrill that you once knew, and coming to church is exciting for you, and you look forward to it, and there's something real about it that stirs your heart, and you're glad when you get ready to go to the house of God. I can't answer that question for you. I have to answer that for me. But what about you? It caused a departure from God. I thought about Elijah over in 1 Kings chapter 17, and God said, I want you to go down by the brook Cherith, and said, there, I'll take care of you. And he sent ravens in and water. Now, you know what Elijah could have done? He could have said, well, that brook's going to dry up one day. And I've never seen ravens bring bread to anybody. I've never seen ravens bring any meat in. I've never seen that happen. He could have said, I've got to see something first before I believe this. No. Elijah just went down there by the brook of Cherith and sat down, waited on God. And God did what he said he'd do. Then God said, when the brook did dry up, he said, now I want you to go up to Zarephath. There's a widow up there. I commanded her to take care of you. Now, I don't know what most of us would have done. We just had a widow. And oh, she's got a little bit of flour, a meal in the barrel. It's about to run out. And she's going to make a cake for her and her son. She's about to die. And you're going to send me up there and let her take care of me? Elijah could have said, I don't see how that's going to work. That doesn't add up. That's not how I think. Surely there's somebody up there that's got more than she's got that can take care of him. No, Elijah just did what God said. He didn't depart. You see, if Elijah hadn't went down by the brook Cherith, hadn't went to the widow at Zarephath, he would have left God. He'd departed from God. He wouldn't have had God's power. He wouldn't have had God's blessings on him. He wouldn't have been ready to do what God wanted him to do, would he? He had to believe God. Went up there, and you know the story, how God took that widow's one little barrel, a little bit of meal in a barrel, a little bit of that she had, and made much of it and fed them many days. I say hallelujah. This unbelief will cause you a departure from God. Let me give you the third thing. It'll condemn sinners. Unbelief condemns sinners. You know why sinners go to hell? Because they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the ungodliness and filth and sin and all that. God judges. God's angry with the wicked every day. God judges sin. Sin must be punished. Understand that. But if you believe the story of Jesus, if you'll only believe what God has to say, you can be saved. In John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you believe, you're not condemned. If you don't believe, you are condemned. That's pretty plain, isn't it? And so what brings a condemnation? Unbelief. If we just believe God, we'd not be condemned. But because we don't believe God, we are condemned. In the house today, every unsaved here, if you're not saved, it's because you don't believe what God said. God said, I love you, I care for you. You don't believe what Jesus did for you. He died for you, rose from the dead. If you believe that, then act upon it. I've said many times, people that say, I believe all of that, but do not act on it, is like a man sitting in a burning house, and somebody comes through and says, the house is on fire, and he says, I believe you, I know you're telling the truth, but I'm just going to sit here. That's what that's like. If you really believe that you're going to hell, and you really believe that Jesus loved you enough to die for you, and you really believe that God can save you, I believe you do some stepping out by faith and come to Jesus and trust Him as your Lord and Savior. Amen. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's John 3:36. I say to you today, friend, you need to believe God. You're condemned already, going to hell now. You say, I'm going to wait till I get to the pearly gates. And this thing about St. Peter letting you in, St. Peter don't have a thing in the world to do without you getting into heaven. He didn't keep the gates. He's not the keeper. Jesus said, I have the keys of death and hell. He's the one that lets you into heaven to keep you out of heaven. He's the one that sends you to hell and not sends you to hell. I want you to know today that, friend, it's what you do. Jesus is going to keep you out of hell and take you to heaven. Preacher, do you believe there's a real hell? As sure as you're sitting on a pew, you're sitting on there's a real hell. And people go to hell, it's not saved. And they've heard the message. You've heard about Jesus and you're hearing it today. And God's a wooing you. God's speaking to your heart. You need to come to Jesus and get saved, born in the family of God. Then there's people here that need to get revived and stirred in their hearts so they can believe God and will believe God for revival. You can't really get down to business about God sending a church revival until you get yourself revived and stirred, helped, believe God, trust God. How are you today anyway? What is your situation today? Who are you spiritually? Are you saved? Are you really born in the family of God? You say, preacher, I'm really saved. Praise the Lord. Is that joy there? Do you believe God? When you're praying, are you really believing God? Do you expect God to do something? Are you really looking for God? Do you really in this day, coldness and indifference and ungodliness and filth on every hand, do you really expect God to do something? Can God? God can. Will God? That depends on us. That depends on us. They limited God. I can't get over that. They limited God. God had all the power to do it. God wanted to do it. But they would not believe Him. And they hindered God from doing what God wanted to do. I'd hate to think when I stand before Jesus, I was guilty of hindering God from doing what He wanted to do in Gateway Baptist Church. I'd hate to think that I allowed something in my life, I allowed something to happen, I wouldn't believe God, I wouldn't have step out on faith and trust God. I'd hate to face God like that. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege to open the Word of God, and these things about faith. And you said without faith it's impossible to please you. So, Lord, if it's impossible to please you without faith, then we need to believe you so that we may please you. And, Father, I pray in Jesus' name the Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. And, Father, today there are those here that's lost. They're without God. They are going to go to hell if they don't get saved. Lord, it's our desire for them to be saved. And you said in thy word it's your desire for them to be saved. Then I believe today, Lord, we can give an invitation with full assurance it's your will to save sinners, to save those that know not the Lord Jesus. Then there are those here today that's saved, but they realize things in their life, it's not right. These things, God, you're working with them about, convicting them of, they need to repent, trust you, and let you help them. And I pray all over the house, God, you'd have your way. Help us be honest with ourselves and with you and with each other. And I pray the Holy Spirit do a work in hearts tonight, today, and we'll thank you. Now, Lord, you know everybody here. You know me and all the rest of us. Help us all do what we wish we'd have done when we stand one day in judgment. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.